Carter says buying goods and services that give immediate support to warfighters in overseas contingency operations like Iraq and Afghanistan has to be one of the department's highest priorities. But the Pentagon needs to find a consistent process for doing that and getting a good deal at the same time.
Our system doesn't make that easy. Our system, the PPBS system, was designed for normal times, was designed to prepare for war, not to wage war. It is an annual cycle. If we followed that, we'd always be behind the eight ball in Afghanistan and Iraq. So we have to create a fast lane for contingency acquisition so that requirements are done not in the ponderous usual way, but quickly.
Carter says that means creating fast lanes through congressional committees that have to authorize the reprogramming of Pentagon spending as well. He says the Pentagon's been able to rapidly field urgent capabilities like mine-resistant ambush-protected vehicles and drone aircraft, but the contingency contracting process has not been streamlined, to say the least, and Carter says it hasn't given the country a good bang for its buck since the Iraq and Afghan wars started.
So we're constantly hot-wiring, working around, and so forth. And that is not satisfactory. We need a better system, and the Secretary has asked me to put on a more permanent footing the constellation of ad hoc systems that we've been using, and I'm doing that. I'm doing that while also making sure that we take the time, that we don't take attention away from the task at hand.
Carter testified before the Commission on Wartime Contracting in Iraq and Afghanistan. That independent panel is focusing right now on service contracting in those contingency operations. Their interim report to Congress, which they released a month ago, contains more than 30 recommendations. Most of them fall under Carter's jurisdiction, and he says he agrees with most of them. In fact, he's already implementing many of them. But there are areas of disagreement. The Commission wants DOD to make much more use of suspension and debarments to crack down on waste and fraud in contracting. Another recommendation relates to contractors' past performance. When evaluating a contract, they want DOD to only evaluate past performance that's documented in the government's central database. Carter says he agrees DOD doesn't have good enough data on past performance in many cases, but that can't be the be-all, end-all.
The difficulty arises, or a difficulty arises, when a contractor has no past performance as a government or DOD contractor. How do we handle that situation? I think it's important that we not do anything that erects a barrier to entry for a contractor who has not contracted with the government before. And related to that is the point that if they are a contractor who has done the kind of work for governments that we want them to do, but it's been for non-U.S. governments, they also won't be in the non-U.S. base, but their past performance can be assessed, can be measured, and is relevant.
On the topic of suspensions and debarments, Carter says the Commission needs to be cautious about recommending that they be used as a bigger tool.
When we get to the point of suspension, of considering suspension and debarment, I mean, that's way past the point where I want to be with these things. We have to get back to the front end where prevention and detection of fraud. We need to get better at those. How do you prevent fraud? You prevent fraud by making it impossible to put one over on you because you're all over contract performance. You're doing what a contract monitor ought to do, which is to make sure that you're not, the government isn't being defrauded.
To do that, Carter says DOD is steadily beefing up its acquisition and contract management workforce. In particular, he says the department's creating 1,500 new full-time positions that will be devoted to contingency operations. They'll be designated as deployable emergency essential personnel, and like the rest of DOD's acquisition workforce, those positions will be exempt from the civilian hiring freeze. He says he's also ordered each military service and military department to create its own program manager responsible for service acquisitions. He says those jobs will be generals, admirals, or senior executive service civilians responsible for establishing and disseminating best practices and policy for service acquisition.
They do not do all of the services contracting. Services contracting is done pervasively in the military services and other components, and we want to make sure we touch every place that is contracting for services. Contracting for services is a little bit different from contracting for weapon systems because our people who contract for services are mostly amateurs. because they're mostly doing something else as their principal responsibility, and services contracting is an ancillary duty. Many of them are trying to get something else done, and the services are what helps them get done their principal job. Their principal job is not to acquire services. I don't want to turn them into services procurement experts.
The Wartime Contracting Commission's full report to Congress is due in July. You can find links to their interim report and their recommendations so far on our website, federalnewsradio.com. In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.